Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
That's Mike Greenberg. It's a matter of who he and the draft crew, Mel Kiper Jr., everybody will be talking about next Thursday night. Of course, most importantly, what order will they be talking about? Quarterback, 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 one, two, three, four. Never happened before. Great chance it'll happen Thursday night on ESPN television, ESPN radio. But there's plenty of intrigue past the first four picks for sure. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin with Alan Hahn in the house. Jay will be back on Monday. Fellas.
Really?
Yes, he will. He will. I've said it too many times for it to not happen. So, but we're ready to go with the draft. The Giants are in an interesting situation. The Giants are actually picking just outside of the top 10, and there's so much angst and so much discussion and chatter and smoke screens in the top 10. The Giants are sitting there right outside. They also have an embattled general manager in Dave Gettleman tied to the hip with Daniel Jones, a guy who he moved up to draft, of course, with the sixth overall pick in 2019. And that's where we'll start. Because think about this. In Gettleman's reign in the Giants, from an executive standpoint, this is a second go-around, but we're going to just talk about the actual picks he has been a part of and made. He has traded up on numerous occasions, right? He's traded up. That's not a big surprise, right? Daniel Jones was the most prominent case. But he has never traded back. And he addressed that in a pre-draft press conference, knowing that this is a huge coming week for his future and the immediate future of his roster.
I've tried in the past. I've tried to trade back, but it's going to be value. I'm not getting fleeced. I refuse to do it. And if you know somebody wants to make a bad trade back, God bless them.
Are you trading up or trading back?
I'm going to involve you in the trade.
I don't know.
The laugh is fantastic.
It's not even the laugh. It's just that his sarcasm is just to a whole nother level.
He's old school New England. I mean, is that what he is,
New England guy?
Old school New England. Yeah,
the quarterbacks. I mean.
There's a value chart.
Yeah, you get a chart.
Like you can avoid getting fleeced by just following the chart.
Well,
like
maybe
I don't understand.
Believe in a chart.
No, maybe you don't believe in yourself. Like that sounds like somebody that really doesn't trust himself. I don't want to get fleeced. Like that sounds like such either he's just messing with the media.
Could be.
Saying something like that because he knows it's going to get a rise out of guys. I don't want to get fleeced, so I refuse to do it. Like maybe he's just saying it to say it. Mm-hmm. He likes to talk that talk. But
he got fleeced to move up to get Daniel Jones.
Did he?
Yeah, because you didn't need to move up to get Daniel Jones. You didn't need to do that.
We said the same thing about the Niners to get Mac Jones.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going up to get Mac Jones.
He's talking about going backwards, though.
Yeah.
Right? I don't want to move back because I don't want to get fleeced. What, you're jumping ahead of me to get a player. Like, why wouldn't I want that player? The Giants got jumped. This is Jerry Reese. It wasn't Gettleman. But the Giants got jumped twice for players they wanted. And they ended up getting Eli Apple in that draft. And that was obviously a disastrous draft because it was Leonard Floyd. Yep. They were targeting him. They got jumped over to get him. And it was also, I believe it was Conklin that they also wanted. They got jumped over to get him. And they were not agile in the draft that year. And it cost them desperately as they had some really bad drafts. But here's a situation for Gettleman where it's a quarterback draft. They don't need one, at least not right now. But what do they need? What's their biggest need? That's not an easy answer.
Offensive line to me.
Yeah, I would think the interior line is the easy answer.
Interior line, either on the defensive side, an edge rusher, or somewhere along the interior offensive line would be what I would think they would need because they need to keep Daniel Jones healthy and upright. Plus, they got Saquon Barkley coming back.
Yep.
You got to be able to open up big gaping holes for him to run through. And I misspoke. He should have went back on Daniel Jones because he could have got him and you would have picked up extra picks to build your roster for the future. Instead, you stayed pat. It picked him when you could have got him in the later pick in the draft.
Indeed, he was picked sixth overall. Now, I should mention part of the reason he has to have some fun with the media and part of the reason you have to be a little skeptical is, of course, Alan, you know, this is the same guy that said we're going to shake some things up in my second tenure here and bring in some computer guys, right? I mean, this is the same sort of guy that just doesn't just come
out. He finally unplugged the Commodore 64
right,
and went into some, went into more analytics, and that's, he talked, more computer guys was how he put it, which you know he's messing with writers by saying that.
Right. Just ask his bagel guy right now. You have to be a New Yorker to get that one. Okay. Right. On the other side, Robert Saleh, first year as the Jets head coach, for all the pressure that Gettleman has, none of it's on Saleh because they're just building. If anything, Saleh's boss, Joe Douglas, will be under a little bit of pressure now to make sure they fill out the roster properly. Douglas came from the Eagles where he made his chops in pro personnel and selecting guys and drafting guys, helping Howie Roseman in Philly. So he'll go from one shade of green to Kelly Green on the other side. All wisdom says they're going to pick Zach Wilson with the second overall pick out of BYU. And Saleh was asked in a pre-draft press conference if there's any jitters, first year on the job, new OC, franchise that's been sputtering. They just had an offensive-minded head coach that didn't work. If starting a kid like this, starting a kid like Wilson in this media market right out of the gate is your first time NFL head coach, gives him any pause?
I don't think there's risk. You know, it still comes down to having a good football team and building a good roster around around everybody. I mean, there's players here that are talented. There's rookies that are going to be coming in that are talented. And so as far as pressure is concerned, there's no pressure on me. It's just there's always pressure. There's always pressure to put together the best football team we possibly can, regardless of who's playing.
Yeah, it's year one, right? I mean,
did you hear that? That was a contradiction.
There's no pressure, but there's pressure.
Yeah. There's always there's no pressure on me, but there's always pressure.
Yeah, but there's no pressure on him. He's not worried about year one, but the people are going to try to apply pressure on him is what he's saying. But, you know, he's talking, so he's at a press conference.
Key, there's pressure on him when they draft the quarterback. Yes, there is.
Zero pressure.
On his coaching staff to develop that quarterback.
Yeah, and over time, not in year one. Year one, this isn't Mark Sanchez in a veteran cast of defensive players where this quarterback comes in, hands the ball off, every now and then you make a throw and they go to the AFC championship game 2 years in a row. This is not
you had
that
a veteran offensive line back then.
But this is not the type of pressure. You're basically building a brand new team. This is like an expansion team right now for the Jets. This is really what this is. And so Joe Douglas has to essentially get players in the draft 2 years from now, 3 years from now. We'll start to talk about that pressure. Year one, there's no pressure. Like, how are you going to put pressure on a guy
that has
a rookie quarterback that is coming from Utah to New York City, who's never played in the National Football League, trying to get on the same page with a bunch of other young players and a new coach, a new offensive coordinator? There's no pressure.
There's different levels of pressure, though, here. Isn't there? So you just said it, though. But you just said it. He's coming in now to build literally from scratch, right? That's what we're talking about. You're building from scratch.
Yes.
You just had an experience, and that's not your experience because you're the new head coach, of a quarterback that just drafted. And nothing came of it. Nothing. His best performance might have been that the first game he ever played as a Jet. That was the most promising moment for Sam Darnold, and it never got better than that. So that's the concern. The pressure is not letting history repeat itself. And it might not be your history, but it is the franchise's history. So you better have pressure to say, this is where it changes. Your pressure is on you to prove that it's changing, that the culture is changing, and that we're making this quarterback better each day.
But they're not better than the other three teams in the conference. I mean, the division.
But there's different kinds of pressure. The pressure is to make sure that what we set forth this season becomes our new culture. That's the pressure, and this quarterback is going to have a big piece of that. Because if he sucks, Key, that's
a
major setback.
You sound like a disgruntled Jet fan right now.
But it's true. You just moved on from a young quarterback who's 23 years old and said he's not good enough. We're going to take a new one. The pressure is prove yourself right.
But 2 or 3 years from now, not day one.
But it starts now. You can't sit back and go, I got 3 years to do this. You've got to start now.
He's going to show promise. There's no question in progress. But 2 or 3 years from now, if it looks like it looked in year one, that's when it becomes a problem. You can't all of a sudden expect for them to go from 2 games to 9 games. It's not going to happen. You're not bringing Bill Parcells in. You're bringing a first-time head coach in that is still trying to figure out where he parks his car.
Yeah, I think you're missing my point. I'm not saying the pressure is on winning. I think the pressure is on the evidence that it's heading in the right direction, that you made the right decision to say goodbye to Sam and bring in a new guy who's young and start over.
You won't know that for 2 to 3 years anyway.
I won't, but he needs to show
it. They won't know it for 2 to 3 years. They're not going to know it for 2 to 3 years because they're not going to put him out there as a starting quarterback and have him be kind of like just completely destroyed.
Key, when you came into the league and you were highly touted, obviously you were the biggest name in the game, and you came into the league, did you say, I have no pressure, I got plenty of time to prove that I belong here? Or did you say to yourself, from day one, I'm letting everybody know what I'm about?
Yeah, but that's me as a player.
Yeah, but that also should be a coach.
But he can't – the coach is responsible for 53 other guys on the team. He has to bring Zach Wilson, assuming Zach Wilson or Justin Fields or any of them, alone. He cannot all of a sudden put him underneath the center, drop him back to do what he could do 3 years from now, day one. It just can't happen. No, you can't do that.
You're misunderstanding me. The pressure is the idea that you have to prove yourself day one. I'm setting a new tone here, a standard, and I have pressure on me to make sure that everybody understands this is our new way.
I think he'll be able to do that.
And my pressure is to make sure when he steps in that he looks ready for whatever we need him to do.
I think by having a new coach, there's a new culture already. That when you bring in a new coach, you bring in a different culture, different mindset, different voice. So people will take, Robert Saleh will take what he learned in Seattle as well as what he learned in San Francisco with the success that he had. He will bring that book with him to New York. He will try and duplicate as much as he can and at the same time be his own man and head coach. And then the players will follow that. Adam Gase didn't bring nothing. I mean, think about it.
You're right.
Where did he come from? He came from Miami.
Where was not failure.
They were a failure. Mm-hmm. And then his other stop, I believe, was Chicago. What was that? It's not like you bring in an assistant coach who has won at every stop that he's been. With Robert Saleh, that's the case. You're bringing an assistant coach who's won at every place that he's been.
Okay.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests including.
Yes. No.
Daniel Cormier for you Fight fans coming up in just 3 minutes. Back to Dave Gettleman here for a moment. As you know, the Giants fortified in the offseason to try to help Daniel Jones. I think we all know it's a big year for him, too. They brought in Kenny Golladay. They brought in the Bengals bust John Ross.
So jeez.
Tell him how you feel.
Yeah,
I love it.
He very quickly became a bust because the only thing he had going for him was speed.
But right.
I will say, Gettleman did address with those two additions and some of the young pass catchers they already have, would it preclude them from going after a pass catcher at 11?
You're always looking to upgrade every position, Paul. Doesn't make a difference, whether it's wide receiver, tackle, whatever. You're always looking to upgrade. So, again, it's kind of the same. You know, it's about value, and it's, you know, how you're building your team, what you're looking to do, and you can never have too many good players in one position.
But, Key, you're also saying you can never have too many guys protecting you. It's a lot easier for Daniel Jones to hit those receivers if he's got some offensive line help. Maybe that's where they should go instead of the wideout position?
Why would you draft a receiver?
Yeah.
That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You got Shepard. They brought in the speedy John Ross to lift the coverage. You gave Kenny Golladay all the money. You got Shepard already.
Slayton.
I mean, you got – so now what are you doing? Like, what are you saying? Now, you may just be talking to talk, just talk, because you don't want to tip your hand, but they also need an offensive line. Because if you want to really get a full picture of what this quarterback is, you've got to keep him upright. You can't just think that, oh, he could just drop back in fun and gun and wing it all over the place.
Not division.
And run for
not
his
against
life.
Washington.
No.
Washington will make you pay if you're going to do that. You're absolutely right. And what has been the biggest issue position for the Giants in the last decade since they won a Super Bowl? Since that group, which was a great offensive line, they all had to retire. They all moved on. What was the issue? The issue was offensive line. It's always been. Eric Flowers, a huge mistake. Nate Solder comes back this year, but you know, you're still wondering if that contract was the right contract. Andrew Thomas is a draft pick that everybody thought was the best one for them to make, and yet he has turned out to be, out of the first-round picks
incomplete.
To go on the offensive line, he was not the best of those guys.
Incomplete.
Now, he could be better, yeah, but the point is that it remains, that remains, the offensive line for them, an issue. And here's a draft, especially at 11, where you'll have an option, and if that's not your first priority, it's a mistake.
We'll see what happens starting again next Thursday for both the Jets and the Giants. Two very intriguing
stories.
Maybe
he'll trade out of it.
If he trades back, it would be almost like trolling the media.
Yes, indeed. And he would be trading back for the first time in his tenure making those picks. This is Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin coming to you from above the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. We are hours now away from UFC 261. We're ready to go tomorrow night, Jacksonville, Florida, on ESPN Plus in front of 15,000 fans indoors. And if you ask the UFC, as crazy as it sounds, they would have signed up for that in March of 2020. Instead, they'll get their 15,000, leading the way in American professional sports. They want crowds back. Dana's been pretty clear about it, and they'll do it in April of 2021. Providing analysis, one of the greats that has ever stepped into the octagon, Daniel Cormier. He joins us this morning, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Daniel, just as a competitor, as somebody who's spent his life, and this has been your life's work, UFC, MMA, mixed martial arts, in the climate in which we're in, what do you feel about 15,000 fans in the house tomorrow night for a gigantic UFC pay-per-view?
Zubin, you know, the thing is, these fighters, and I really was trying to gauge the temperature of the fighters, right? Because those are the ones that are going to really benefit or be hurt by the crowd being back. And it was universal, man. Everybody's so pumped up about fighting in front of people, the energy that the crowd brings. You know, so many of these athletes have now had to fight inside of the Apex where it feels like sparring. They look forward to getting out there and performing in front of people. And I think that the energy in this place is going to be electric. Now, the Vistar Arena in Jacksonville may have never hosted a UFC title fight, but because they allowed the UFC to come last year for UFC 249, not only do they get a title fight, they get three title fights. The place sold out in minutes. It's going to be fantastic, man. I cannot wait to sit next to that octagon and call the fights with John Anik and Joe Rogan and just build off all this excitement that we're going to feel in this arena.
You know, you're so right when you talk about the atmosphere, right? Because even watching some of the fights during the pandemic and it's, you know, in an empty building, it's obviously that the fighters are still, once you're in the moment, you know, you still have that intensity, the energy. But there is something about having the crowd react to every move and every punch that just seems to, not only as you're watching, energize you, and I'm sure as an announcer probably energize you, but you would know this too, as a fighter it has to energize you. And we saw what happened last summer. Is having that crowd, is that going to, could that be more important to Masvidal considering how critical this is for him, this fight is for him?
You know, there are certain guys that I think play off the crowd more. Jorge Masvidal knocked out Ben Askren in 5 seconds, and the roof got blown off of the T-Mobile Arena in Vegas. When you're fighting a fight like he had last time with Kamaru Usman, and he's clinching you the whole time, you don't hear what you would expect from the crowd. If they did that fight in front of 15,000 tomorrow, they would just get booed so much that it may make the referee break them. It may get restarts. There may be a lot of different factors that play into the fight if they're in front of a full house. Now, with this full house tomorrow, if they spend as much time in the clinch as they did last time, they're going to get booed out of Jacksonville, and they both live in Florida. They may never be welcome back to Florida if they don't fight a better fight than we saw in Fight Island last year. So the crowd does impact the fighters, but also the officials, because these referees do react. They're human. They would have stopped all the clinch work in the first fight and made those guys stand a little more, which would have guaranteed a more explosive fight.
Yo, we all know about the main event, but what other fights on the card could surprise us all on Saturday?
Oh, man, you know, outside of the other two title fights, you know, Zhang Weili defending her belt against Rose Namajunas, Valentina Shevchenko defending her belt against Jessica Andrade, those are great. But Chris Weidman, the former UFC middleweight champion, is fighting Uriah Hall. Uriah Hall, they're both from New York. There's a rivalry built in-state. They fought 10 years ago on the local scene. And Chris Weidman beat Uriah Hall for the first time, broke his undefeated streak. And I'm telling you, don't like it. Uriah Hall has made this a Bronx versus Long Island thing. He said Long Island doesn't even belong to New York. So he's attacking Weidman's hometown and everything. This fight has everything on it to make for just an explosive fight between these two.
See, I take that personal. Weisman's from Long Island, so am I, and I take that very personal. So I'm right
it's
behind Chris
on
island. This one. Stop it.
It's not.
I got into a bar fight in Tuscaloosa about this one time, so I am not afraid to fight you on this. Hey, Danny, I want to ask you something that we were joking around about on the show earlier, and it comes to has to do with uniform numbers, right? Because Keyshawn wore 19, and that was unique. And in the NFL, they're actually going to open it up and let guys pick certain numbers that they want instead of position numbers. I know when fighters don't have numbers, but if you had to pick a number, if you could wear a number, because Keyshawn says your number says a lot about your personality. So what number what number would you have chosen if they said a fighter's got to wear a number on his on a jersey or shorts or something?
You know, you agree. I agree with Keyshawn completely. You know, when I played football all through high school and stuff, I always wore number 9. And now my son wears number 9 because I think it fits. You know, for me, it was about my the early part of my career, you know, our football high school career, I was a lineman. So the ability to wear a single-digit number meant something to me. So just being able to change it up and choose, it's good. Now, I understand that some people relate numbers to positions. So it makes it a little bit difficult. I saw what Tom Brady said, but I just think that freeness is a good thing, you know. And I think that NFL and people in charge put a lot of thought into this in order to make this decision. But it says a lot about you, man. And I would probably still wear the same one that spoke to me as a 17-year-old kid down in Louisiana. Mm-hmm.
The only operative number now is 261, UFC 261, yes. And as Daniel said, the electricity is going to be palpable. An incredible card on the line in front of an incredibly large amount of fans tomorrow night on ESPN+. And Daniel will be there, Octagon side, to take us inside the great analysis. Daniel, thanks for joining us this morning. We'll look for you tomorrow night.
I appreciate you, boys. Enjoy the fights, man. It's going to be fantastic.
Thanks, man.
Thank you. Today on the ESPN Daily, speaking of the UFC tip, this would be a great primer if you're driving to work, driving home this weekend, have something to do tomorrow before the fight. Masvidal and Usman absolutely hate each other, which is something we just referenced. Ahead of the fight, hear why Usman wants to break Masvidal's soul. That's the UFC,
so
man. It's a different breed.
It's great.
It's a different breed. That's on the ESPN Daily podcast. You can listen on your favorite podcast app. On the way, take a scan at Syracuse's basketball roster next year, and you'll see the words Boeheim, Boeheim, and Boeheim. I bet you know about two, but the third? Wait till you hear this story. KJZ, ESPN Radio, and this morning right now on ESPN News.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Luka in the jump circle against Caruso. A screen by Hardaway. Caruso fights over the screen. Shot clock at 7. To his right. Step out, Drummond. Finds Cauley-Stein. Right to Hardaway. Right corner. Finney-Smith three-pointer with 2 minutes remaining. And the Mavericks go up 113-106.
You heard it on ESPN 103.3 last night. Mavericks over the Lakers, 115-110. Second meeting in 3 days. The latter comes tomorrow. Big spot, 8:30 Eastern. Saturday primetime on ABC. You can also hear it on ESPN Radio. Allen is pining for some Knicks highlights. They're the hottest team in the league. We're going to show the seventh-rated team in the West. Allen, I got you here. The
Knicks. I just don't understand this. The seventh team? Is that what we're doing?
And they say we have East Coast bias.
And they lost.
West Coast bias. West Coast bias
too
for
much
once.
West Coast. All right, no more West Coast in SportsCenter, right?
Speaking of West Coast, Allen, we're right back to it because we got to go to baseball. San Diego and
the Yankees won too.
Los Angeles. That should actually be the Yankees won.
That's a big story.
We can give the Yankees some of our wins and we'll still be ahead of them.
This is true. Padres Dodgers big 4-game series started last night at Chavez Ravine. San Diego took the opener 3-2. They'll play tonight. They'll play Saturday, and then they'll play in front of the country on ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. So if you've been hearing about this burgeoning rivalry, you'll get an opportunity to see it at Dodger Stadium on ESPN Sunday night. We just talked to the UFC living legend, Daniel Cormier. You can check that out when Hour 3 of the podcast downloads in just a little bit. He took us inside UFC 261. Kamaru Usman, Jorge Masvidal, welterweight title. 3 terrific fights on the card. It's on ESPN Plus in front of 15,000 fans. Yes, 15,000 fans indoors. Yes, indoors in, of course, Florida, and you can check out more with these two, Usman and Masvidal, on the ESPN Daily podcast. SportsCenter is brought to you by Indeed. By speeding up the hiring process, Indeed puts the dash in dashboard. Use Instant Match to connect immediately with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed. Match your job description, then use your dashboard to conduct interviews. Find out more at Indeed.com/credit. You know, a lot of people have said college basketball season, which ended earlier this month. I want to get your guys' thoughts on this because this is one of the hottest stories in all of sports, even though college basketball has come to a close. Dick Vitale, our colleague here, who has done more for college basketball than almost anybody I can think of over the last 40 years. He hates, and I mean absolutely hates, the transfer portal. He's an old school guy. I'm an old school guy. He's a little older than I am. But I people think it's run amok. It's the Wild West. Your team has to be re-recruited. You just recruited guys to come to campus. Now I got to re-recruit those guys.
Good.
And then I got to recruit my next group of guys.
Even better.
Okay, so clearly you're for the transfer
Absolutely.
Portal. There's over 1,000 names in the transfer portal.
And some of those guys are not going to have landing spots.
That's right.
On them to figure out their value. But I don't understand why people would, you know, not embrace an opportunity for a kid to have a change if it's not working out at some other spot. I just talked about it in the break. Shaka Smart left the University of Texas to go back home to Marquette to coach. Mm-hmm. He was still under contract. You do understand that, right? Mm-hmm. So why can't players decide it's not working out here? I want to go somewhere else so I can fulfill my promise and my dream.
Because it turns into free agency. There should be some type of rule that you need to then sit out, because what happens is while for the player, I agree that it should be just like as a coach can jump from program to program, a player then can say, well, I don't want to be here now that coach is gone. I understand that. But you also have to know that there's the dark underbelly of college basketball, which I know you're aware of. I'm aware of it too. We're all aware of it.
That I have nothing to do with that.
Yeah, right. But now it turns into where all of a sudden now you get, quote, air quotes, agents that get involved in placing you in different places.
I can't worry about that.
You have to worry about it as a business.
I can't worry about that. Because agents.
It's not good for the sport.
But coaches do it. How do you think coaches leave from one destination to another? Because their damn agent is out there jockeying for position. What's the difference?
I understand. But what you have now is all of a sudden an instability in every program. Well, you just have constant movement. And it's not based on opportunity or maybe – it's one thing if a coach – see, I believe in this. If a coach leaves for another program while you're under scholarship, then you should be able to go wherever you want.
But what if –
that's one thing. You shouldn't just be able to bounce around because – I'm not happy here. I'm not getting enough minutes, and they'll say I'll get more minutes here.
Yeah, you should. If you told me that you're going to develop my skills, and you were going to help me live my dream and see the light at the end of the tunnel, an opportunity to play professional sports as well as get an education, but you're now going back on your word of developing me.
That's adorable. You said get an education. I'm jumping from school to school. When is education at the top of the list?
Well, that's what you tell me. You tell my parents when you come sit in the room. This is what you're selling to my parents.
Right.
You're telling my parents you're going to develop me and help me get an education or on track to finishing my degree. This is what your institution is selling.
Yeah, that's right. And I gave you a scholarship, and you're here, and you're going to class. And if you're doing the right things, you will get that education. How does that have anything to do with basketball?
But why should I not have one and also have the other at the same time?
But Key, think about it like this. I'll give you a real-world tangible example. There's 1,000 guys in the transfer portal. I'm going to use a school that everybody knows, Kentucky. Coming off a 9-win season, terrible, a lot of heat. Calipari switching up his staff. There's a million things going on. They were 9-16 last year. They have opted to go to the transfer portal, and they got a guy named Kellen Grady.
Yes.
He got it from Davidson. He's Davidson's best player. He's a sharpshooter. Yeah. Davidson's best player since Steph Curry.
Got it.
So clearly, he's got the opportunity. I'm all for Kellen Grady seeing, you know what, I wasn't great coming out of high school, but now I might be able to play for Big Blue Nation. Let me max out. But Key, what does that do to Davidson? That's the problem.
It ain't got nothing to do with Davidson. I'm leaving because this coach is not developing me at the level that I need to be developed.
He needs a higher platform to go to the NBA.
And I feel like Coach Cal can get it done, and I like Blue Nation.
What does it do for all the mid-major schools that are having those guys hemorrhage?
Don't go to mid-major.
Their rosters are being hemorrhaged.
I ain't got nothing to do with that. I ain't got nothing to do with that because that coach can leave and go somewhere too.
You do realize that school gave that kid a scholarship, but nobody
else would. I understand, and those schools also give these coaches opportunities to coach these kids and recruit these kids, both head coaches and assistants, and assistant coaches who are predominantly the guys in charge of the recruiting, they leave to go to other places after they recruit you because they got a job in the NBA or they got a head coaching job. How do you think the kids at Gonzaga feel that is going to Gonzaga, that is at Gonzaga, and that coach left for a better opportunity, assistant coach left for a better opportunity at the University of Arizona?
Tommy Lloyd.
How do you think they feel?
Well, because but he was an assistant.
It doesn't matter. The assistant coaches know, and you know it, Alan. Assistant coaches are the main recruiters. Yep. The head coach come in and close the deal.
Right.
Most of the time. The assistant coaches are the ones that's out there grinding and doing those things. I expect for you to be with me the entire time, Zubin. This is what you're telling my mom and my dad. And then the next thing you know, I blink you up and leave.
On the way, we'll talk to a coach who just took in, this is only apropos, a graduate transfer.
He shouldn't have did it. He's wrong.
But it's his son.
It doesn't matter. What about those other programs?
He graduated.
It doesn't matter. What about those other programs?
From an Ivy League school.
It doesn't matter. Coach Boeheim targeted this guy. He targeted him. He saw him.
He might have had it in with mom, too. You never
did. Never know.
Jim Boeheim, Buddy Boeheim, Jimmy Boeheim. Have you heard this story? That's next on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. After Key has this from our friends at Goodyear.
Goodyear knows when the season starts heating up, so do the possibilities. Playoff hopefuls are beginning to emerge, and contenders are solidifying their position. From here on out, every game is a chance to create momentum, to make the right pass, the right move, to hit the perfect shot. It takes momentum to build up the moment, but it takes everything to capture it. Goodyear, more driven.
Riley in South Carolina, you're on ESPN Radio.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Hey, J1, listen to man. I'm a big fan. Hey, Jay, I appreciate your football acumen. Hey, Zubin, you the man. Key, I appreciate you. And you was down there in Carolina, too, baby. I appreciate
More
that.
More from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
We just had a very spirited debate about the transfer portal, one of many issues facing college basketball. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. We head to the Goodyear Hotline to welcome in a guy that's seen everything in college basketball here from one of the best vantage points in the house for the last half century, and that, of course, is the legend Jim Boeheim of Syracuse. He's just one of dozens of coaches and athletes partnering in AthleteDirect.com, giving players and coaches a one-stop shop to sell memorabilia, autographed, game-used, commemorative items, as well as new product lines directly to their fans. Athlete Direct is Brandon Steiner's latest, newest venture, giving fans and collectors the opportunity to purchase collectibles directly from high-profile players and coaches, including the hottest current names in sports like Breanna Stewart and Dinah Taurasi of the WNBA, the New York Giants' Dexter Lawrence, Isaiah Stewart of the Pistons, as well as world champions Mark Messier, Tom Coughlin, and Aaron Boone. For more, you can visit athletedirect.com. Good morning, Coach. We were thrilled, I think many were, to see what Buddy Boeheim, your son, did in the NCAA tournament. And then the news the other day that your other son, Jimmy, transferring over from Cornell. Obviously, Cornell Ivy League didn't play the season last year, but a couple years ago, he's a 16-5 guy. So this fall, it'll be Boeheim, Boeheim, and Boeheim. And I just wonder how you feel about that as a dad.
Well, I'm good as a dad. As a coach, I'm really happy because Jimmy's really used Cornell to become a really good player. He was 6'7", 200 pounds when he went to Cornell. Now he's 6'9", 230. And, you know, he was a good player at Cornell, but he's a much stronger, much better player now. The only problem I have, my daughter Sissy, who's maybe the best player in the family, thinks she should be playing here. So I've got to work with her. But other than that, and you know, the nights you come home when if for some reason you're yelling at one of your sons, it's hard to come in that door at home. It's hard some nights. So, you know, that's my only worry. I don't worry too much anymore about any criticism from outside sources, but when you come home, you better worry about that.
Yeah, that's for sure. Coach, let me ask you this because I love it. What was your initial thoughts on the new rules in the transfer portal? Because I think it's great.
It is good for the players, but it will have some consequence. There's a bunch of football players, Keyshawn, who are in the transfer portal right now who don't have a place to go. You're talking in basketball, there's about 1,400 in there. And the difference now with transfers, when transfers happened before, they were guys that absolutely weren't playing at all and really weren't, you know, going to play. And they should have, it was good for them to transfer. And some of them got to a place where they played. The difference now is you're having starters leave because, well, I'm not getting enough shots here, or the offense isn't right for me here. And I don't even know if those kids come to that on their own. I think some of the people around them come to that conclusion. But the problem with that is you're not necessarily – I mean, you're starting someplace. Now, you know, I've seen many cases in the old transfer portal. I remember one year we had a school in our league get 4 graduate transfers who started and were probably one of the best or second best player on their team. They transferred in and never played because they were transferring up and they just weren't good enough. And so, I mean, that can happen. But other than that, let's look at it this way. The thing I'm most for, the players should get the NIL. That should have been done a long time ago. The right to their, you know, give clinics or give autographs and make money off it. I think that should happen. I don't think players should get paid. They're 17, 18, 19 years old. I don't think that's something that should happen. But they should get the NIL. And the transfer, you know, it gives the players that freedom, and I'm okay with it. I just think it's going to lead to some kids who are, you know, maybe the next year they'll play. I remember Michael Carter Williams was here. He didn't play much as a freshman, but, you know, he probably would have left in that world, in this world today. He stayed, he started, we went to the Final Four, he was drafted in the first round, I think 10th or something in the NBA, still in the NBA. So he stuck through it. It worked for him. And I've had many other players, the same thing. That first year can be a little difficult. But then you figure it out, you work your way through it, and it works. But again, the freedom part is there. I don't like it when I hear the analogy on TV, well, coaches can leave. Well, if you want that to be the case, 15 coaches left this year, Division I. So at those schools, all the players can leave and play right away, fine. But again, I'm going to say I'm for this rule because it gives players freedom. But starters are leaving.
I think
the top five guys on a team are leaving. And maybe that's good. Maybe that's what we want. And I'm going to say that I'm going to stay with this. If I had the power to change it, I'd say, all right, let's give the players this opportunity. The thing you understand is, coach, we will adjust to it. I lost five guys. I got three guys within 5 days. So I'd rather have it more consistent with keeping the other guys we had. But this is the way it is, and we'll go with it. We lost two guys that probably would have started next year, but we brought in two guys that can probably start. And you look around the country, every school that lost guys got some, and particularly the schools, the power schools, Kentucky, they got a couple guys, Duke got a couple guys, North Carolina's got a couple guys. They're going to get players to replace the ones that they lose. So, we're here. This is it. This is what it is. And we just, as coaches, have to adjust to it, which you always have to adjust to things. But as you guys well know, the top teams, Duke, Carolina, whatever teams you want to match, they're going to get players.
Yeah.
I think the lower level schools get hurt by this because they develop a player. He becomes really good. It used to be they waited till their grad transfer, so the school got 3 or 4 years. Now the best player in that program is going to leave as a freshman.
Yeah.
So I think it hurts those schools more because it's harder for them to replace those guys. But, we'll adjust to it. It just means, some years you used to start with 3 or 4 new players anyway, if they were freshmen or maybe one transfer. Now you're going to have maybe 3 or 4 new players every year. Because what's going to happen, if a guy's not in your first five and he sees he's probably not going to start, he's 6, 7, 8, 9, that guy's going to transfer. So the one thing I will do is we had 11, 12 players last year. We'll only have 9 players this year. We'll have 8 or 9. And I think I play 8 or 9. So maybe we can keep those guys here and give them back. But I think we'll still, at the end of this year, we'll lose somebody.
Yeah.
But if they find a better place, that's great. We had 3 guys transfer last year and they didn't play much where they went to. So you just never know.
Coach, it sounds like you're saying, be careful what you wish. Like, even though you support it, you also add that be careful what you wish. And what added to it is something that Mick Cronin talked about, where he had a player, was it Dacian Nix, that he thought was committed and then decided all of a sudden to go to the G League and take some money from the G League. And he said it's the G League who actually came and kind of recruited him away from us. So there's more options than ever before these days. So for you, do you look at it as I've got to continually not only recruit new kids, but recruit my own kids every year?
And coach, we got like 1 minute.
Yes, you have to. You have to make sure. But if a kid, I have had a great kid, was our 6th man this year, played 20 minutes a game, probably would play at least that next year or more. And he wanted to go someplace where he would, I guess, start. And, that happens. We have to be ready for it. The G League is going to take some kids, but it's a tough existence. Mm-hmm. And some guys went into that league. 10 guys went in on that elite team, and 2 or 3 of them really played well. The other 7 struggled, and that hurt them in the NBA. If those 7 had gone to college, they'd have been really, really good. And, they would probably have been in better shape. So it's going to be good for some kids, but I still think the best players, if they go to college, they're going to get that boost like Cade Cunningham, like Suggs got from Gonzaga. They get the thrill of playing in the tournament, going to Final Four, and get all that exposure, and they're the top 2 guys in the draft. So they lost out on, what, $100,000, but they gained probably a couple million dollars or more in endorsement value and profile value. So it's just a navigation over the next few years, a little bit different, but it's what we're used to, and I think colleges and coaches will adjust to it and move on. You know, we'll do what we can do, the best that we can do. And this season was tough, but the tournament was exciting. The games were exciting. Hopefully, we're going to get our fans back next year. It was really crazy coaching with no fans. It was just so different. But hopefully, we'll get that back. I hope everybody's getting vaccinated. And, you know, we have a chance to get back a little bit more to normal, hopefully by the fall. That's at the latest.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great way to say it. There's nothing more normal than watching college basketball than having 30,000 rock at the Carrier Dome. And hopefully this fall, that'll be the case. Coach, thanks very much. AthleteDirect.com for all the memorabilia you can get from Coach Boeheim. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, guys.
It's great to have him here. The NBA's on ESPN Radio. Tune in Sunday. Nets Suns presented by Indeed. Coverage comes your way at 3 p.m. Eastern on most of these ESPN radio stations. When you're 76 years old, you just say the truth. You don't care, right? As a coach, you got to say I'm for the portal because players will get back to you.
Oh, I totally get what he's saying.
He speaks the truth. He's the best. KJZ mock draft rolls on at the top of the hour.